Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. From just as many men who want sex more than their partners or women do. So we are the one who's perpetuating all these beliefs that like women are more frigid and men want sex all the time, which is just so not the case.
Mm-hmm. Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Today, I'm joined by the fabulous and entertaining hosts of the Lady Gang, Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek, and we discuss a lot of things. Wow, we cover a lot. How sex has changed during the pandemic, tips for amazing nipple play, ways to give a killer blowjob. I always say oral sex on a penis, but hey, they asked for it. We also talk about the different kinds of desire, the best ways to clean your sex toys, my most common listener questions, and what happens when TSA pulls out your bag full of vibrators. Side note, I just got back from vacation and I did drop my nipple clamps in the Las Vegas airport. I also answer your questions about how birth control can affect your sex drive, how to let your partner know you've been faking orgasms, say no to Faygo, and a listener's experience hurting his penis during doggy style. All right, intentions with Emily. For each episode, I start off by setting an intention, and I encourage you to do the same. So when you're listening, what do you want to get out of this episode? How could it help you? Well, my intention is for you to hear some other women share their own vulnerabilities so you feel less alone. All right, Mother's Day is this weekend. And I have created the sexiest Mother's Day gift guide you'll ever read. Because mothers masturbate too. They do. I swear. Don't worry. It's not all vibrators. But we've got CBD bath salts by Foria. If you haven't seen these, smelled these, tried them. It's amazing. So many sex toys. And we've got some really great discounts. So whether you're shopping for a mom or you're a mom shopping for herself, which I highly encourage, you can just check out our website, sexwithemily.com, and check out the latest gift guide. All right, let's talk about your questions. I know a lot of you want to ask me questions, and you do. You email me or you DM me, but now I have a brand new hotline. It's 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. But 559-TALK-SEX is easy. So here, you'll just leave me a voicemail with your questions. And if you consent, we might answer it on the podcast and play your message. But remember, however you ask me your question, whether it's 559-TALK-SEX or you email me sexwithemily.com/askemily, all I ask is that you include your name. You can totally change your name, your gender identity, location, age, and how you listen to the show. I can't wait to hear from you. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Today, my guests, I welcome the Lady Gang. They're a popular award-winning podcast and brand for women by women, featuring Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek. Their book, Act Like a Lady is a New York Times bestseller. You can find more about them at ladygang.com and on all social media, The Lady Gang. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
We haven't had good sex in 4 years.
So. I know. We need a refresher, Emily. Like, yes. Take us to church.
I'm in. Kelty, Jack, Becca. I mean, first, I always set an intention for every show. I say, what is...
That's, you know,
I'm setting
so
intention.
Good.
I'll say, for example, I want you guys to learn on the show how to communicate better. And then I ask people, you know, intentions. You said intention and likely it happened. Do you guys have an intention? Like, is there something that you'd like to learn or impart to the listeners?
Ooh. You know, so every time we talk to you or I listen to your podcast, I think, oh my gosh, I am so normal, because so many women have the same questions and concerns regarding sex, but they don't have a place to talk openly about them. So I guess my intention would be like to help women feel less alone with this conversation and sex in general.
I was going to say, that's like our whole mantra for the Lady Gang is, you know, making other women feel less alone. And we do it in so many different ways, but talking about sex, we talk about sex, but not in an in-depth way like we do when you're around. So it's amazing because it like really aligns with everything that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So agree with that. And then also I feel like everybody after this past year, like we just like need a little spice. So figuring out what that first little step is for some extra spice.
Okay. I love it.
Yeah. And my intention is to learn something to bring to the wardrobe.
Oh, of she wants a nipple tassel.
My accoutrement. No, but every time we talk to you or I listen, I've had nipple clamps. I have the least sensitive nipples that have ever been on the face of the planet. Chris is so into a nipple and he's always like trying. I'm like, if you press harder, it will not work. They're dead to me. It's the saddest.
I want one
thing.
More intention. I want to purchase something at the end of this episode.
I want to purchase.
So we need to know what the thing is that we got to go out and get.
No, you're all in relationships right now, married in relationships. Right?
Yeah. Becca,
married, Kelty. And Jack, last time I saw you were dating and the apps and all the things.
All the things. No, I've been with my partner for almost 3 years now. Okay. So.
Okay, good. Okay. So you're all in relationships. And so I have a question for you. So there's this study that just came out. Men say sex is better during the COVID-19 pandemic. Women beg to differ. So it says that guys are saying that the lockdown enhanced their sex lives and ladies don't feel that knocking boots with their boo, whatever, that's what it says, during COVID makes sex any better. 50% say pandemic sex was great. 71 say that it did nothing for their overall sex life. So I just want to know, how has it been for all of you?
I've discovered something about myself, because sometimes, like you've said it in the past, where women have to feel connected to their partners to be turned on and they have to ask how your day is. My husband does that more now with COVID. I actually like my husband more as a person now from COVID, but my sex life took a little bit of a downturn. And I think it's because part of my recipe for sexiness is for me to feel sexy. And I haven't been putting on makeup. I haven't been washing my hair. I haven't been putting on pants that even zip. And so that's what the missing link is. So I've actually been able to really pinpoint. So it's been helpful. I mean, have I gotten out of my sweatpants as often as I should? No, but at least now I know.
Right. Baby steps. Well, it's true though. If we don't feel sexy, how do we expect our partners to want to be with us when we're not being loving to ourselves?
Yeah.
But I also think the difference in this study, if you were to look into my household, is that the pandemic, you were around each other more. So you might be having more of the quantity of sex. Like you can't get away from each other. There's no excuse. Like you're so busy, you're on a work trip, whatever. Like you're going to have the sex. But if a woman is not feeling sexy, to what Becca said, that level of pleasure, like I'm probably having more sex. I don't know that I'm having like the best sex of my life. I feel closer to my husband, but I'm not like, oh my God. And it's mostly because I'm wearing a lot of flowy things and sweatpants and eating poorly, but not like I'm not taking care of myself in that way. I'm not, exactly. It's like, I think it's a mental thing. They're just happy that they're having lots of sex.
Right.
We're like, wait a minute. It was supposed to be a romantic trip to Bermuda.
Right. Exactly. What about you, Jack?
Well, this is the thing with my boyfriend and I, he is a musician and he is in the normal times pre-COVID gone all of the time. So for the most part, I mean, we'd see each other in like little chunks. We'd binge each other and then I wouldn't see him for weeks. So that kind of was what our relationship was before COVID. Oh. And we have spent every single second of every single day together for the past year. And honestly, it's been great. Like Becca said, I like love him and enjoy him more than I ever thought that I would, because the few times that we went on vacations, I wanted to kill him. So I'm like, well, if this is what it's going to be when we're locked down together for a year, it's going to be bad. But yeah, very, very surprising and pretty great sex.
I'm so happy for you. That makes me, because I didn't know where that was going. I'm like, okay, that's weird. Yeah. He's gone for the usually that works at first distance. You don't know.
Yeah. Well, our whole lifestyles were like completely different. Yeah. So it was like our first, you know, experience of actually having like a normal life that you would see your partner every single day.
Yeah.
But yeah, good. No, it's great.
Good. So yours sounds like it was more frequent maybe for all of you, or
I think mine was about the same amount, but
I was less confident in my vagina. I'll tell you that, because
really?
You don't have any professionals around. Like you can't
waxing
get
and all the things.
Like any of that. Like I just, it's, you know, everything I need a nice nail to feel sexy.
I need a nice nail.
Not to look and see the gray hairs at my temples to feel sexy. So it's like, it's a whole package.
It's been tough. What do you guys know? Have you done work to feel like when you feel the sexiest?
After a few drinks.
Tequila.
Literally, I always say tequila is a female Viagra.
It really is. Yeah, after a few margaritas, I don't think that you can feel any sexier than in that moment.
Yeah, it's true. Just as women, I'm always saying, like, how do we feel sexy? Because usually if we're feeling sexy, someone else is going to find us sexy, right?
Yep.
I mean, for me, it's like when I'm taking care of myself, when I'm working out, when I'm doing therapy and I'm mentally there, when I physically like have my pieces together, like are my brows, mm-hmm. like am I tan, like okay, all of those things. I mean, so many things.
Yeah. Are there any other questions you wanted to ask me?
I feel a lot of guilt and shame for not giving enough blowjobs. How can I make it fun and feel less like a job?
It can be a job, but what if you made it fun, like flavored lube? I have this flavored lube that tastes amazing. It's literally salted caramel. They have one that is mint chocolate chip.
Ooh.
And it tastes, usually I have it here at my desk.
I feel like I'd be more into something the other savory, day. Like a There's, Cheeto flavor.
Ew.
They might have one of those, but just like playing with it. Cause then you're like, oh, I'm not kidding. This sounds really like silly. Cause there are a lot of flavor lubes that are terrible, mm-hmm. but this one System Joe, that just helped me too. I do not give a blowjob without it. Cause it's like, it tastes good. Your mouth is slippery. So I'm trying to give you some hacks okay. that like spitting. I never have enough saliva anyway. I just have like the lube there. So if it's flavored, you're like, oh, I'm more likely to do it. And remember you can use a hand in a blowjob. And I think it doesn't have to be as big of a deal. Like, is there a time where you guys are in the shower together or you just like
the shower? Right. The shower is a tricky one though, because then you might start drowning while you're down there with all
that's true. I have a steam
you can't
shower.
Breathe maybe out of your nose. The bathroom. And then-
well, I don't know what that's true. That is true. And here's the thing, I don't know if what your sex is like and when it's starting to happen, when if there's a point where you could just surprise him with a blowjob. Like what? Like here's your assignment. Maybe there's like one night, like after that, you could just say, I'm going to do it. And then you feel like you wouldn't feel guilty anymore. And you could do something a little bit, like I said, just even if it's not flavor, have something nearby that makes it easier. You can use your toy there or any toy on a low setting, any vibrator on their shaft, on their balls could feel amazing. And then it's quick.
Quick is what we need.
It could be
ladies.
Quick and feel good. I'm just trying to speed it up for you.
Quick and dirty.
What are your thoughts about the Fleshlight in general?
I like, you know what? The Fleshlight is, it's a masturbation sleeve for a penis and it's supposed to feel like the real deal. So it's just a mimic of a vagina. I put it inside and you just use it for masturbation. And I think people love it. Like I feel like men are down, but sometimes you're like, oh, is it a bad thing to do? Is it? No, it's like, it's a masturbation sleeve and it's a good time.
Add to cart.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're getting into how to clean your sex toys. It matters. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
What is your favorite way to clean a sex toy? Like, what's the best?
The best way to do it, and I'm glad you're asking that because it's actually very important to do it because you can get a bacteria infection and mm-hmm. no one ever wants to do it because you're like, I just had an orgasm. I'm going to sleep. Mm-hmm. Okay, the easiest way is like a damp cloth with like a little bit of soap, like wetted washcloth and just wipe it down and you're fine. There's also toy cleaner that you just spray on it. That's easy. And then there is something called, I don't know if they make this anymore, but or if it's available still, but it's called the UV. And it stores, cleans, and sanitizes your toys. And it takes like 20 minutes. And you can also do your phone and your makeup brushes. Oh. And it's like a little UV kit. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Okay. But I think they were like back ordered during the pandemic.
I'm sure. Because my parents bought them because of COVID.
They did?
Well, not for the sex toys.
Oh, okay. I'm like, I love your parents. But you guys, I just want to show you. I just looked up Womanizer. I need to show you all. Like, this is like, there's so many more models right now.
Oh, there's one with a like a little dildo. Well,
where does that go? In your bum?
In that goes vagina. In your vagina.
Oh, where do you think it goes?
I never know. When the thing has like a many talons.
This is the duo. This Ooh. Is the womanizer duo stimulator. What? That's, you know, aggressive. It goes inside.
Yes.
I mean, if you're not into that kind of thing.
No, we're into it.
Guilty just doesn't know where to put it.
Emily, how many times have you been going around the world to teach and speak and be at conventions and stuff? And you've had to like go through TSA with like a big bag of dildos.
Ooh. So many times this has happened to me. I used to go to trade show in Vegas all the time. And I remember one time I had like 50 magic wands. I had like a box of magic wands and toys. Like I wasn't even trying to hide it. And they were just like, I see you. I got you. Yeah, no. It's fine. They were fine.
Has anybody like done the whole where they open your bag and they pull it out and then everybody sees them holding a dildo?
Has that happened? Yes, absolutely. Has that happened to you? Not oh, that's to happened to me.
I've had my vibrator go like, off while it's like going because I didn't take the batteries out.
Classic.
Someone's like, I was on holidays and it was this way before the pandemic. The guy was like unloading our bags. I had like a soft-sided like duffel bag and the guy was unloading the bag and he's like, this bag is vibrating.
Although this did happen with my Theragun when we were traveling, but it brings me to a thought that I had. I had a peak sexual experience middle of COVID when Zach was giving me a leg massage with the Theragun and he went really up high into my hamstring. And I was like, that's it. That gave me so much enough vibration in my groin that I was ready to go.
Like, there you go.
That's the Theragun. If any woman out there is scared to buy something.
I love the Theragun. Don't put it on your, you know.
Don't put it directly.
It seems too strong.
Exactly. It's kind of like the magic wand.
I love the magic wand. There's nothing better.
I love the magic wand too. Yeah. That's the Mack truck of all vibrators. But that is the Theragun. It's true. You get the
if you get high vibrations. Enough.
Yeah.
I was going to tell you that I have in both of the houses, like I just moved, I have a 1990s hot tub. And I think that is like key. If your sex life
is a 90s hot tub,
like it's like it's like it's plastic on the inside. You know, you've had it. You've been in one.
You know,
It's not like built into the ground and with slate. It's like plastic. It's like fiberglass. You slide around in it. Like, I just love being in a hot tub. And then you sit there. It's like what the Theragun is to Becca's nether regions. The hot tub is to my libido.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense too. Warm. Yeah, I have a steam shower. That's been a big thing for my pandemic thing. You just go in. Yeah, for my COVID love.
How's the sex like education kind of world going? Like,
during COVID?
Yes. It's killing. I mean, it's been insane. I have to say that sex education, well, when this first happened, of course, I was at a sex retreat in Maui and March 12th. Yeah, I was there like the 9th to the 17th. So I like did not leave for a month. But I remember thinking to myself, shit, people are just going to be home masturbating. Like, what is going to happen? There's going to be like you kids in their rooms masturbating. And so I decided, I was like, I just want to start doing like Instagram lives every day, just helping people figure out their sex problems. But I really just, and I'm still doing stuff like that, but I feel like people had more time, obviously, at home, and people had a lot more questions. You know, it was great for podcasts. I'm sure the Lady Gang killed during quarantine. And then I think people were listening to podcasts and they had a lot of sex questions. So it's been a good year, you know? I think that people realized that they were home, they and maybe they were in a relationship where they kept leaving and traveling and they just were sort of avoiding their sex life, but they couldn't run from it anymore. So they had to like get into it.
Yeah. So the question that we always like every time we're together, like, how do we increase our libido? What's the question you get from men the most?
It's a great question. The men for most is usually about their penis. So either they're coming too fast or they're not coming at all. Like they're like a delayed ejaculator, which is when it lasts about 45 minutes to an hour. So that's an interesting thing too. Like, what do you do about it? So it's mostly about that. And then if it's not about their penis, it's about their partner's orgasm. Like, how do I get my partner to blank, have an orgasm, try, initiate sex, do all the things.
When I listened to you on the Black Girls Texting podcast, you had mentioned something about like, we assume that men just want to have sex like all the time, like every single day, and that we're somehow disappointing them or like feeling shameful that we're like not being that person if that's not what we're doing. And you said something interesting, like you were talking about like, you know, as they get older, like men sort of slow down, can slow down too. Can you talk about that a little bit, please? Are they going to slow down?
Yeah, they absolutely do. Yeah, they will slow down. Men's testosterone does start to drop usually after the age of 40. But I think that once men get into certain later stages in their life, and they do, like they're just sort of, they want more communication and touch. I mean, everything that we've learned about men are like this and women like this are mostly wrong. And the only thing I can point to is like desire about the women get turned on. It's usually in response to something and men are more like a spontaneous. That's the one area. But everything else, I hear from just as many men who want sex, whether their partners or women do. So it's, yeah, but I think that for men, they can slow down. They feel, you know, safe in their relationship or it has to do with their physiology. It could be a lot of different things, but that could happen. Totally. We are the one who's perpetuating all these beliefs that like women are more frigid and men want sex all the time, which is just so not the case. Not every man wants sex all the time.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. You guys, it's so great to have you on the show, Lady Gang.
We love being here.
We love you.
I love you guys. We should do this again, not in 4 years. And congratulations on all your success that you're, I don't know if you're still going to start doing the live shows and the merch. And I just love watching all the success you've had. It's really impressive. And I think each one of you in your own way are so fabulous. You come together and make this incredible show. There's so many women that you're just helping them and they're seeing themselves in you and they're building their own community. So I think it's awesome.
Thank you. I remember coming to your show and being in your studio, which now it sounds like you're in a new studio. And I was like, one day Lady Gang will be successful enough that we'll have a room with a sign. And like, you also have like a bunch of like dildos out. So we don't have that, but
still do.
You could, but you know, it's pretty cool. Like, I think you have paved the way, you know, for women in podcasting and being so authentic and so real. And every time we talk to you, whether you're on our show or we're on your show, I always feel better about myself at the end of it. Like, you should be so proud of yourself and what you've accomplished. And I'm like, oh my God, I've listened to you on other shows and I'm always feel less mean to myself. I don't know how to describe that. It's amazing.
Thank you, it's very true. Yeah. Aww, you guys are the best. Thank you. Thank you for being here. How can people find you?
At theladygang.com. At theladygang.com. New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday of the podcast. We also have clothing coming. And so that's all on theladygang.com. And then our book, Act Like a Lady, is available wherever you get your books.
Yeah, congratulations on your book.
Thank you.
It was big.
Okay, well, thank you. This was awesome.
Thank you.
So fun. Mwah. Be right back after this quick word from our sponsors. Let's talk to Siobhan, 40, in California. Hey, Siobhan, what's going on?
Hi, Emily. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. How can I help you?
When my partner is penetrating me, like, vaginally with his penis, it feels like it's tearing my anus a little bit. Like, I always feel like just a slight little pain, as if it's like a little paper cut is going on down there. And I'm not really sure, like, what...
Is it your anus? So it's your anus. It's not your vulva or your vagina.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Okay. Have you ever had this before?
I have. Yeah. I think it's just like when I have a partner that's kind of like resting powerfully, I guess. Like just, like, I don't know. Maybe it's like because my leg, because it usually, it seems like it probably happens more so when I'm like in a missionary or like I'm on the bottom. I think it's more common then. So maybe
that makes sense.
Like my ass is up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So, yeah, no, yeah.
Because I do like that position otherwise. Right. I just don't like that little.
Okay. Are you using any lube? Now, is this a partner that you've been with for a while?
Just for a few months.
Okay.
But it's happened before with another partner as well.
Is he big? Is he larger in size, penis-wise?
Well, yeah, I guess larger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's a few reasons for this. It's just what we're talking about is pain. Like, it feels like it's your anus. It might be around there. But for women, a lot of women have pain during sex. And there's a lot of different factors. It could be physical. It could be psychological. There's just a lot of things going on. But I would recommend using a lot of lube. And I would also recommend figuring out, did you ever have anything happen to you sexually? Like, has this been going on your whole life since you've been sexual? Or was it just the last few years?
You know what? I think it's in the last few years.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like, it goes away pretty fast, like probably within, I don't know, maybe like 2 days or something.
Oh, gosh. But, that's not fast. Yeah. 2 days. You have pain for 2 days? Yeah. Well, I would recommend.
Yeah, but just like light. It feels like as if I have a paper cut or something. And like when I pee, if it happens to like drip down there, like it stings a little bit.
It sounds like there is some tearing maybe or something. Do you ever check? Do you ever take a mirror and look? Are there any bumps? Are there any rashes? Any tears?
No, I should try that.
Yeah. I would go see your gynecologist and I would get your hormones checked because for many women, and you said you're 40. So, you know, menopause, perimenopause can start in your mid-30s. And so what that means for women with menopause and perimenopause is that we start to lose estrogen every year. And as a result of our diminishing hormones, we can have more pain. And so what can change is you can, you know, go see a gynecologist, you can get tested, you can go see a hormone replacement doctor. Sometimes our modern day gynecologists don't have some of the best solutions, but they could give you like an estrogen pass. It could be loss of estrogen typically. And it's sort of like an aching, a burning, a throbbing, a ripping sensation. Now, women have pain at all ages during sex. If you were in your 20s, I might say that it's something called vaginismus or vulvodynia. Vaginismus is when there's pain entering the vagina, and then vulvodynia is external, more on the outside during penetration. But I believe that that's what
it's definitely the outside for sure.
Okay. That's what I think it is, and it happens during, you know, intercourse. And so what you can do is I would definitely go to your gynecologist and get checked. When was the last time you went for a checkup? Because maybe you have an infection. You could have like a UTI. You could have some other STI that can lead to pain.
Because it's only just like right after sex, like immediately after. And then I guess that would probably take a day or two.
That would be it. But that could be it. That could be it, that it's still painful after. I don't want you don't have to live for 2 days, 2 minutes with pain. Women don't have to live with pain. We think because we're like, oh, well, I have to give birth. I have to get my period. I might as well just have pain during sex. No, Siobhan, you don't have to have pain during sex. That is not your future. That is not your lot in life to have pain.
I don't have to deal with it. Because I do kind of just think it like, well, it's just a part of it.
I'm so glad you called.
I use more lube because I thought, well, maybe that'll help. But then it really didn't help. So.
Okay. So because lube is a great thing. Maybe there's tearing. Mm-hmm. But I would say make an appointment with your gynecologist. Get all the tests. Get your hormones tests. Get your STD tests. Do everything and have her do an exam.
What was it you said it was called again? The one that's the more external one?
That's called vulvodynia. Vulva and then vulva. Dynia. Yeah, vulvodynia. Okay. And the other one is vaginismus. Yeah, vulvodynia. V-U-L-V-O-D-Y-N-I-A. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of different reasons, but if you're not happy with your what she says, you know, go see someone else. Or he, there's pelvic floor physical therapists that are just about you, your vulva feeling good. Okay?
Oh, good. Okay. Thank you.
Yay. All right. Of course. Siobhan, this is going to help you and help so many people. All right. Keep me posted. I got you.
Okay.
Will do. Okay. Okay. Bye. Thank you. Thanks for calling. I mean, listen, you guys, 80% of women experience pain during sex at some point in their life. 80%. And those women, guess what they do? They don't seek help. They just sort of, I'll just have pain for 2 days. She's like, it doesn't last very long. 2 days. So for 2 days, Siobhan is walking around with pain. And I'm telling you, the majority of vaginal pain, we can solve it. Well, if you go to see a pelvic floor physical therapist, which is something that's becoming a lot more common these days, just like you'd go for your physical therapist if you hurt your back or I hurt my knee, I went every week to a physical therapist. You go to see them about your vagina and they give you dilators and they work with you to release the pain. And it happens very quickly. You're not going for the rest of your life. You could just be going for a few weeks and they give you exercises and they help you expand your pleasure potential. Yay. Yay, happy vaginas.
Okay. I love this one. I can never have this conversation too much. Mandy, this is from Mandy. I recently started listening to your podcast. I'm a huge fan. I've been dating my boyfriend for a little over a year now, and sex is okay, but I fake my orgasm basically every time. He never really does any kind of oral with me, but I have for him because he and I like doing it. I finally told him I need some kind of pregame before we get started because sometimes I'm not even wet when we start. He told me early on in our relationship while we were sexting that he's not a fan of going down. It turned me off, but I didn't question it at the time. Fast forward a year and some change later, he's never gone down on me once. My type of orgasm is from clitoral stimulation. He rarely fingers me or goes down on me. Great guy. We have a great connection. Sex game needs help. How do I bring it up to him without hurting his ego? You know, it's... I gotta take a deep breath here because she's probably 20, 19. And this could have been written 20 years ago, 30 years, this 5 minutes ago. This is the challenge that so many people don't understand when we don't know anything about sex and we start having sex. These kind of dynamics happen. And I don't want that to happen to so many more women that he says he's not a fan of going down. To me, that is a deal breaker. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he probably doesn't know how. He probably hasn't before. He might have heard it was, you know, people love to say things about the vagina that are not that healthy or helpful. And so I would just say that, yeah, you've been with him for over a year, girl. You've been faking orgasms for a year. He's never gone down on you and he's getting a lot of blowjobs. Now, I'd like to chalk it up to the fact that he just doesn't know about female pleasure. Although... he said he wasn't a fan of going down. So I'm going to say that where he's at in his life is being immature. I'm not sure that you're going to be able, Mandy, change the course of this relationship or not. But I wouldn't worry about bringing it up to him without bruising his ego. Maybe his ego needs to be checked. And you could tell him how important it is for you to also experience orgasms, even though you've been faking it. I don't know, might not be a bad time to come clean and say, I got to be honest with you, I'm not really having orgasms. Or I make this noise because I think it's going to lead me to orgasm, but most of the time I don't. And we got to work on my orgasm right now. You could even say, tell me, I know you told me once that you weren't into oral. Can you tell me more about that? Did you have a bad experience? Do you know what to do? Do you think that maybe I don't want to have oral? Because I do. And see how he responds. You know, he might not be educated, but I believe that a partner that's going to treat you well is going to hear a request from his girlfriend that this is what I require to be turned on, aroused, and orgasm, would say, oh, wow, thank you for telling me. Oh, I'm so glad that you felt brave enough and open enough to share that with me. I can't wait to figure out all the ways to bring you pleasure. Instead, what he's saying is not into going down. I'm just going to keep taking these blowjobs till they run out. And he's not invested in it yet.
And that's how you get your partner on board. I think if you say it in a way to your partner, you have a request for your partner that's not accusatory, it's not blaming, it's not shaming. How Mandy shouldn't do it is say, you never go down on me. You told me that you didn't like it, but can't you tell that I need it? He won't hear anything. But if you say it this way, you know, I need to come clean with you that I've actually been doing some exploring on my own through masturbation, and I've learned that this is what I actually need in this sexual relationship that we've been in for a year, and I thought I should express my needs. What do you say? Any questions? Is there anything I could do to help, you know, maybe I could show you what I like orally or even with his fingers? He's not using his fingers either. So the other thing is he's doing the old jackhammer. My recommendation is to have this conversation, not worry about his ego, but do it in a kind, loving, open, curious, accepting, calm way. See where you go from there. I think that's a conversation we should all have tonight with our partners or tomorrow. What do you need in the bedroom? What aren't you getting? And ask for it. But if you don't know this, it's confusing. And this was my hunch, is that this is still going on in the world. So that's why I think maybe he's a little bit younger. So this, I'm going to say, any age, any relationship you're in, your partner will benefit from this kind of feedback, no matter what the gender, if you do it in a loving, kind way that is to serve not only yourself, but them and others.
Okay. I really wanted to read this email because it brought me joy. Jim, 54 in Colorado. I love your show. Thanks for all the great information. I am 54. My wife is 45 and she is amazing. She can orgasm many different ways, orally, by hand, by penetration, nipplegasms, even when we're petting. It's a great feeling knowing she can go so many different ways. And she's multi-orgasmic. Many times I've lost count after 20 orgasms. It's incredible and so sexy. Now for our question. She's a squirter. We're both faithful about emptying our bladders before sex, so we know her discharge isn't urine. Plus, there is no color or odor. Yet, she can soak 3 to 4 towels each session. Where is it all coming from? It's like the flood of Noah down there. Loving our sex lives in Colorado. How about that? This is the question everybody wants to know. What is female ejaculation? Is it real? Is it urine? Is it something else? What happens during arousal? The Skene's glands, which is in your pelvic floor. When you get aroused and the blood's flowing, they open up, they expand. And by expanding, they're able to hold more fluids. And the fluid secretion is coming from the pressure, but it doesn't mean that it's pee. It just means that it's all really closely related. It's mostly prostate enzymes. So if you look at what comes out of the prostate, if you look at the prostate, it's very similar. And so it might have a little bit of urine in it because it expels through the urethra. It's like a pump and it fills up. It's like you're pumping, you're penetrating, penis going in or toy or whatever. This whole area is getting so filled up because she's aroused, right? So this whole area next to the urethra is filling up. It's like a balloon expanding with all this fluid and then it squirts out. And it might have traces of urine because it's exiting through your urethra where you pee. I believe that every woman can try a squirt and can have, if you have a strong pelvic floor and you are applying pressure to this particular area and you're open to squirting and you are someone who is not holding back sexually and you can kind of release. Because the thing about it is that there's a release. There's like a, it's almost like what's responsible for orgasm when we're too uptight and we're worried we're not going to orgasm. So if you feel free and you feel open sexually and you feel like, I think that it's a practice, but most women can learn to squirt if they are open to trying, but it's not going to, it might not just take one time, but it's a lot of internal G-spot stimulation. Some women have a lot. Some people have a little bit. It's different for every single woman. And let me just say this one more thing is that it doesn't necessarily mean it's an orgasm. Women can expel fluid and it's not an orgasm. People used to think that if a woman ejaculates, it's like she has urinary incontinence, but it's not that. I say, why not try it?
That's it for today's episode. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts and share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of this, they will too. We release 2 to 3 episodes a week. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. If you want to ask me a question about sex, dating, or relationships, you can email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or sexwithemily.com/askemily. and check out my website. We have so many articles on there helping you better sex, and you can check out our guides at sexwithemily.com/guides for free guides that will give you expansive tips and activities. Sign up for our weekly emails because, hey, I've been told I give really good emails. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.